This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, Senior Attending Neurosurgeon.
And I'm Dr. Alara, Research Fellow. Today we're looking at a fascinating new study from the journal Clinical Neurology and Neurosurgery, published in 2026. The paper is titled Antithrombotic Therapy and Recurrence Requiring Surgery After Twist Drill Craniostomy for First-Time Chronic Subdural Hematoma.
This is a topic that is bread and butter for us in the neurosurgical department, but it's becoming increasingly complex. We are seeing a demographic shift. Chronic subdural hematoma, or CSDH, predominantly affects older and medically frail patients. Alara, in your experience with the console pager, how often are these patients coming in on some form of blood thinner?
It feels like almost every case, Dr. Aris. Whether it's aspirin for primary prevention or anticoagulation for atrial fibrillation, these patients are often medically complex, and that is exactly what this study highlights. They point out that many of these frail patients receive antithrombotic therapy, which sets the stage for a real clinical dilemma.
Exactly. The central concern we all face is recurrence requiring surgery. We can drain the hematoma, but if the patient has to come back to the OR or the bedside for a second procedure, the morbidity and mortality risks for this frail population climb significantly. The authors of this paper note that the effect of antithrombotic therapy on recurrence remains a highly debated topic in our field.
Right. And what I found interesting about their methodology is the specific focus. They didn't just look at all subdural interventions. They investigated the association between antithrombotic therapy at presentation and reoperation specifically after twist drill craniostomy, or TDC.
Let's pause there for the residents and students listening. Why do you think they focused specifically on TDC rather than burr hole craniostomy or a full craniotomy?
Well, given that the paper describes these patients as medically frail, TDC is often the preferred bedside intervention. It's minimally invasive, can often be done under local anesthesia, and it avoids the physiological stress of general anesthesia in a patient who might have significant cardiac or pulmonary comorbidities. However, because it's a smaller opening, the question of whether antithrombotics at presentation lead to higher recurrence in this specific subset is critical.
It's a vital question. If a patient presents on antithrombotic therapy, are we fighting a losing battle with a simple twist drill? The study specifically looked at first-time chronic subdural hematomas. This is an important distinction because recurrent subdurals often have different membranes and internal architectures compared to a primary presentation.
Precisely. By limiting the scope to first-time CSDH, they're trying to isolate the variable of the medication's effect on the initial healing and rebleeding process. The authors investigated the association between that therapy right at the moment of presentation and the subsequent need for reoperation.
For our listeners who are managing these patients on the floor, the at presentation part is key. We often spend a lot of time debating when to restart these medications, but this study reminds us that the physiological state the patient arrives in, their baseline coagulation status, might be just as predictive of their surgical outcome.
And as the study mentions, because this population is predominantly older, the stakes for reoperation are high. A second surgery isn't just a technical hurdle. It's a systemic hit to a patient who might already be at their physiological limit.
It's a reminder that neurosurgery isn't just about the procedure. It's about the medical management surrounding it. If we can identify which patients are at a higher risk for recurrence requiring surgery based on their antithrombotic status at presentation, we might change how we monitor them postoperatively or how aggressively we manage their drains.
Definitely. It's about risk stratification in a population where frailty is the rule rather than the exception. This study adds a much-needed layer to the debate on how these medications influence our outcomes after a TDC.
Well, that's all the time we have for this deep dive. It's a great reminder to look closely at those medication lists during your initial consults for first-time CSDH.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with more updates from the neurosurgical literature.
I'm Dr. Aris.
And I'm Dr. Alara.
And this has been the Neurosurgery Hub Podcast.